Drums in, let's have a party.
Pump up the bitter.
Shh, testing.
Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter. Pump up the bitter.
I've come to work today, but I've not come to my new usual IT boring work. Well, it's not really boring, but just in case my boss is listening. But I'm here today to be a brewer's apprentice. It's time for us to brew HMQ 90, which is an English pale ale, traditional style, with Maris Otter malt, East Kent Golding hops. And we're here at the Hop Vine Brewing Company, and we're with Ken McMullen. Hello, Ken.
Hello, good morning.
How the hell are you going to put up with me for a day?
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. So this is your work environment. This is your office. You've got very little room to work in here because you're also a restaurant down here at Hop Vine. And I know a lot of places have a lot more room. But usually you're here by yourself, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's my little... It's my cubicle.
Is your
and I'm usually in here.
I don't
alone,
see Dilbert. So. And do you? How many times do you brew a week?
I brew about once a week, once and a half times.
Oh, okay.
Most of brewing is cleaning, and
meaning what?
Cleaning tanks.
Oh, most of the time
kegs.
It's cleaning. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you said most of it's clean, but I think your brewing is quite a hard work, isn't it? We're humping those grains up there and all the rest of it.
It's physical, yeah.
Yeah,
you're going to get to witness that.
I know, this is going to be good. So you started off by, I think you got some water flowing in somewhere.
I'm going to hit a pump here. I was waiting while we're recording.
Oh, no, go ahead, man. Pump it up. Is it going to be noisy?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so we're just moving hot water over to another tank, and then we're going to mash it.
So you don't actually have to boil the water to start with. I boiled it
to treat it. But I just need it hot. So we're at about 200 degrees right now.
Okay.
We're going to mash in. We want this mash to be right about 152.
Okay.
So actually this water is going to get tempered with tap water so that we end up mashing in at the right temperature.
Okay, I see. That's now, do you have any problem with the water here? Is it chalky, hard, whatever?
It's a challenge, but it's not a problem.
Okay.
You know how to deal with it.
Is it city water?
It is. It's Aurora. It's Fox Metro is the water district. And so the pH is very high.
Okay.
So I do adjust the pH. It comes from three sources. It's well, Fox River, and aquifer.
I've seen the Fox River. I hope it gets clean before.
Well, the water, the point of that is that the water changes throughout the year.
Okay. You know,
the water supply. So to keep it consistent, I filter it with charcoal, I boil it, I treat it with acid, you know, to drop the pH. And then for some of them, like this one, I'm going to add some brewing salts just to kind of make this more English-type water.
All right. Because Burton-on-Trent, the Trent River was especially good for water. That's why they had all the breweries clustered around there at one time. There were more breweries in Burton-on-Trent than there were people in Burton-on-Trent, I think. Almost seemed that way, but now not so much. Great spring water, though. All right, what am I doing next?
Well, I got to open these bags, and then we're going to mash in.
Mash in, so meaning we're pouring the grain into the water.
Mixing the grain with hot water.
All right, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So we're starting the process. You're putting the hot water into the
mash tun.
That's it. Yeah. Now you're adding a little bit of gypsum salts and a little bit of salt to this just to adjust the water, as you said.
We're Burtonizing the water.
We're Burtonizing the water. That's a good thing. And now all this water is going into this tun. Now that's a mesh that's in that, right?
Yeah. It's
because I see the water going in, but it's not filling up.
Yeah. Well, it's filling up just underneath the screen. There's
right.
About maybe 2 inches under there.
So does that then we put the grain in onto that mesh and it all the good starches and all the good stuff flows through that, right?
Right. That just keeps the husk material of the grain from falling into the,
right.
You know, getting sucked.
Because all we need is the good stuff, right? That's the mash.
The sugars.
The sugars. He's tapping onto the tapping on there to make sure he gets the right temperature, which was what did you say? About 100 and what?
We're shooting for 152 for
okay.
The mash. The mash water needs to be about 176. Ends up getting.
Oh, I see. So you got a little bit of loss of temperature as over the process.
Well, the grain is sitting at about what? It's like 72 in this room.
Yeah, and that's
so
one
that's
thing that people don't realize that when you're working here, you're sweating because. On these hot days.
Yeah, our airflow is pretty good in here. If we get good draw on the stack today,
okay.
It won't get too bad in here. But I've had it where it's literally the air conditioning vent is dripping like it's raining.
Oh, wow. The condensation.
It's just the air balancing. It's just a little bit off in here.
Okay.
But sometimes it draws. Summertime, I don't know. It depends. Sometimes it depends on the temperature outside and the direction of the wind.
Yeah, all those things.
I've been in a brewery where it was in the 90s.
Ooh.
In there. It was completely humid, pouring cold water over my head to stand.
Nobody knew what it was. Why you were steaming.
Yeah, right.
So we're making 7 barrels of this traditional English pale ale. This is a recipe that Mark Naske, my co-host, had come up with last year for our Chicago Brew Bus. And I just added my little twist to it by upping the hops a little bit so that I got a little bit more hoppiness. Now, this by no means is going to be an American pale ale because the malt backbone is quite high on this. And that's kind of... a comment that we were making on a show a while back. We were comparing American pale ales to English pale ales, and I think the English pale ale is a lot smoother, but you know, I've had some really good American pale ales. You make a pale ale as part of your normal stock?
I've got an IPA, I've got an Imperial IPA, I have an American IPA. I don't have a straight pale ale though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a first then. This is going to be great.
I used to make one out when I brewed in California. I used to make a straight pale ale that I floated on our. Actually, I made this. I had an oatmeal stout also. I made that oatmeal stout real light so it would float. I could do a black and tan.
Oh yeah, there
with
you
those
go.
Those two beers.
Yeah.
And but no, I haven't made a pale ale here at Hopvine yet.
Okay. Now, black and tan, just in case you don't know, is a. A light, well, it could be anything. Usually a bitter with a Guinness on the top, or maybe a pale ale with your oatmeal stout on the top. But you've got to pour it on carefully and float it.
Yeah, the two beers need to be different densities, and one ends up floating right on top of the other.
And you need to cool upside down spoon.
Yes.
That's right.
Definitely need that.
Ah, now I'm beginning to see the water come above the...
Yeah, we're setting the foundation water.
Yep.
And we're about... where we can start putting grain in. So
all right, so I gotta start hauling up the bags, eh? This is gonna test me. All right. Young Ken has come back, and I feel very good because I was in charge of the brewery there for about an hour whilst Ken ran off and had an appointment that he had to keep. But I kept stirring the mash, and boy, oh boy, what a delightful smell. And you said when you came back, it had really plumped up. It really did a good
green
job, right?
Really absorbed all the water. It's really...
So that was good. So now you're about to do some cleaning, because that's a lot of what you do.
No, we're going to start the runoff.
Okay.
And then we'll get the tank cleaned.
Okay. And that's part of what you do.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's a large part of what we do.
All right, so now you're going to start actually transferring this, or are you adding water, or what are you going to do?
So what we created was sugar from the starch.
Yep.
That's now that... sugar mixture is called wort.
Yep.
We got to get that wort off the grain, and that's what we're going
to
do now.
So we're transferring it to another...
to the brew kettle.
To the brew kettle. There we go. All right. So he's pulling a few levers, and he's... and then I know there's a dirty wort coming up when we get the grain out. So a sparging, basically what that is as I've learned from you, is actually taking the wort and putting it into the boil kettle?
The sparging part is this.
It's the water.
It's the hot water spraying on top. Lowering is the whole process.
Oh, that's it. Okay, the lowering. And these are all like German words, which are kind of cool. But while we're sitting here watching this and you're controlling the temperatures, we were talking about brewers and their passion. And... you were saying that this hits all the man's buttons, right?
It feeds all your desires. It hits your need for mechanical tinkering. You know, you're constantly fixing things and designing things and building things.
Yeah.
It hits your, I don't know, that science thing, the biology and the chemistry.
Yep.
That a lot of people don't mess with once they get out of school. You still apply that, you know. I was telling you, I've got a microscope and I'm looking at, you know, yeast cells and bacteria cells and stuff.
Yeah.
That's neat. There's the salesmanship, you know. It's you're marketing and you're selling a product, so you're involved with that.
The social side of it.
There's
a
huge social side of it.
I
mean, at the end of the day, you've made beer, and you've got people that come in and want to talk beer and drink beer with you. And then there's the festivals, and so there's a ton of social interaction with beer. And beer brings people together. It builds communities. It's a fantastic thing.
And they've been drinking beer for thousands of years. And I know a lot of the time people will say, well, you know, it's alcohol and everything. But essentially, they used to drink beer instead of drinking water because they couldn't figure out why drinking water gave them...
They had to boil it to make beer, and that boiling action is what purified it. Then the fermenting, you know, provides alcohol, which further, you know, kept it from going bad. So yeah, they drank beer in lieu of water because it was safer.
Yeah, and then they figured out, somebody came along and figured it out. Oh, if I boil the water, then people can drink water.
Yeah,
and that ruined it for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. Whoever that jackass was.
So how long does this particular process take to move it from over from the mash tun into the boil kettle and then to really get that boil going?
This can take from hour and a half to 2 hours.
Because we've got 7 barrels of beer going here, which is how many gallons?
217
gallons. All right, cool.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pints. I like that. Okay, so we're going to carry on with the process here. It's really noisy, but after a while, the motor stops and everything goes quiet. And then we hear the bluegrass again, right?
Yeah, right on.
All right. So this is the really important piece.
of all the brewing really is getting the sanitation right.
Yeah.
And you're connecting everything up with O-rings that have been in the sanitizing cleaner. This is the bit that I think people don't even realize. There's all this connectivity work that goes on. You know, you're putting together the bits and pieces that's going to get this beer from out where you're boiling it and into the fermenter.
Right. There's your enemy is bacteria and wild yeast, and it's everywhere. So you're never completely sterilizing everything.
But you're minimizing as much as possible.
Yeah, you're just getting it to a point where the yeast is overwhelming. You know, the yeast that you want in there is overwhelming anything else that's in there.
All right. You're getting the clamps on everything, and then this is just basically for the cleaning process, right?
Yep.
Well,
okay. And ends up being the transferring too. So
okay.
The hoses that are delivering the cleaner are also the transfer hoses.
Right.
So we're CIPing the hoses at the same time we're doing the tank.
Yeah, what? What's the hoses?
Clean in place.
Oh, clean in place.
CIP.
CIP, okay.
Sorry.
That sounds like a new CBS series. CIP Las Vegas. CIP Aurora.
Brewer.
Okay. There you go. All right.
You know what's interesting is none of this stuff is new. This is the same process is used in
hundreds of years.
Maybe pharmaceuticals.
Oh.
And milk processing and like all kinds of beverage making. Well, these might be because of the fermentation.
Right.
But there's so many other things that they ferment.
Right.
That these are used in other industries too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, I mean, I know that a lot of brewers have used old dairy equipment as their brewing vessels. I know there's one brewery out in Colorado used an old butter. I don't know if it was a butter churn, but it's where you put the milk in and it was open and they were using it as a cool ship. So it's a good way to reuse old equipment. So you're pretty handy at doing the plumbing at home then, aren't you?
I've done some decent repairs at home, yeah.
There you go. Have you ever forgotten to connect something up?
No.
That's good.
But I have, I've cross-connected where the gasket wasn't quite seated up right.
Okay.
So I had a leak. I had one time just a couple weeks ago where one of the hoses popped off of the hose end. So I walked in, I was shooting beer across the floor.
Oh, what a sense.
I was like,
place.
Oh my God.
Don't panic and keep calm.
Yes.
So it's coming up now for about 3:30 in the afternoon. It almost seems like we haven't done a lot, but we have, because you've been cleaning out the fermentation vessels. You've done a tour. We've been calculating how many hops to put in, right?
Yeah,
right. So it's been all go. So the water is now boiling and has been doing so for, about 30 minutes now, something like that?
Yep. We got our first hop addition in.
And that's the East Kent Golding?
Yep.
Which is a traditional hop from Kent in the south coast of England. And so you're going to add in some other hops at other points in the boil. And the reason for that is to give it different bitterness, different aromas, different flavors.
Yeah, you add hops at different points, you get... So the early hops end up being the bittering hops.
Okay.
Then we're going to add hops at 30, 15, and at the very end of boil.
Okay.
And when I say that, I mean 30 minutes left, 15 minutes left. And then at knockout. Flame out.
Flame out?
Yeah, it's when you turn off the heat.
Oh, okay. I know a few women about a flame out.
Yeah. These are all, right? These are all the same hop. It's
right.
All East Kent Golding, but the times that we're adding them make them the different, bittering flavor and aroma hops.
Okay, cool. And then after that, it's sticking it in the fermentation tank.
Yeah,
called transfer.
We're going to whirlpool for
whirlpool. Okay.
Half an hour.
And that cools it down?
No, it just draws all the solids to the center of the tank, so we can take the clear wort off the side.
So
and then
like,
we'll chill and knock out.
Oh, so that's like a centrifuge, but you're
kind of
basically in your case it's whirlpooling. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, centrifuge costs
a lot of money. I know that.
Yeah. We could, if you want to keep going, we'll walk in here. We'll shut this off and keep this. Process.
Yeah, this is, and he's going through this cleaning cycle out here with the fermenters, and. This is the whole thing. We've been talking a lot about this, but sanitation is number one when you're brewing beer. Because if you get any of that crap bacteria in there, it's going to turn out not like you want it.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, you know what's interesting? I found a bottle of beer when I was in Ohio this weekend that was, it was actually priced at, I want to say it was $14.99 for a bomber of it.
Okay.
It was a porter that got infected.
Ooh.
So they put it in a bourbon barrel. Put it in bourbon barrels and then bottled it as a premium. And they said right on the label, this was not intended. It got infected, and it actually ended up quite delicious. And
so was it a sour?
It's a sour, yeah.
Sour,
it's a
sour barrel aged.
A bourbon barrel sour porter.
There you go. Hey, you never know,
so
right?
You may get lucky with that infection, you know?
That's right. Okay, so we're going to carry on sanitizing stuff here, and we'll come back when there's another spot for us to do some informational... Awesome.
Grain out.
Oh, now I'm looking forward to that. Something I could do. So we're getting ready here for the final piece of the puzzle here, where we put in the last amount of hops. And Ken has put his dipstick in, if you'll pardon the expression. What are we looking like, Ken? Are we good?
Yeah. Well, down about 0.4 of a barrel.
Okay.
That's good.
All right, that's good. We got plenty of barrels of beer in there. And this last hop is going to go in, and that's going to provide a lot of the aroma.
Yep, aroma. And we get delicious
aroma, which is always good. So he's taking off a whole bunch of different levers and gauges.
It's going to be loud.
Oh, we like loud, because then it's a very good sound. There we go.
Too loud.
Whirlpool, too loud. So now it's circling around and getting all the gunk into one spot, right?
Yeah, and then it's spinning and then it stops.
And this is pretty hot stuff that he's put, well it's not hot, but it's hot steam coming out.
Yeah, you
gotta be careful. And we got a lot of hops going in at the end here. It's going to be a lovely East Kent Golding aroma. There we go. It's all in.
Excellent.
Brilliant. I think he's going to give it another stir, get that going again. Beautiful. Oh, look at that mixture looking good, man, I tell you. Multimedia.
Is it still going on the sound?
I still got the sound going, yeah. I will cut it down a little bit. Woo! Hot stuff, baby! And then we're done. Close that up, and how long's that sit? Did you burn yourself?
A little
scalding there.
Steam sanitizer of the flesh.
And then you're going to start cooling it down.
We'll shut it down, let it spin down, so stop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be ready to go in the other room.
All right.
As long as we get that fermenter done.
That's right.
So you gotta get the sanitizer done.
All right. It's a race against time here today.
Oh, yeah.
So we've come down to the final piece of this. The brew has been moved into the fermenter. Now, is there a term for that as well?
Well, the whole process is called knockout.
Knockout, okay.
But we're finished. I'm yep. still pushing a little bit of oxygen in there.
And that's to help the yeast, right? Have a good time.
It helps the yeast. Well, it makes the yeast reproduce.
Yeah, and, have a good time.
Yeah, exactly.
And that helps them reproduce. And, of course, then they eat more of the sugar. And
there's more yeast. So then when they shift into that fermentation mode, they take up they ferment pretty quickly and healthily.
Now, you've used the floaty thing, or rather the hydrometer, to test this early days, of course. What is the thought on how it's going to turn out? Which we're thinking 5.7 is going to be close, but you're thinking?
Well, target original gravity was 1052. We hit 1059.
Ooh, which means it's going to be higher ABV.
We're over, which I think the reason for that is my efficiencies have gone up.
You are very efficient, Ken. I'll give it.
Brewery efficiencies.
Yeah.
But, so I don't know. Well, it's probably going to push 6%.
See what happens. But it's certainly malty, and it has a kick in it with the hops at the end there.
Yeah.
Fine East Kent Golding. So everything is going according to plan. And, of course, I'll be helping with the mash out, is it?
Grain out.
Drain out and mash out.
Grain out.
Drain out?
Grain out.
Oh, grain out. Okay, whatever. But that's kind of fun because you get all that lovely grain coming out and it's still got that good smell on it. But yep. then you got to shovel it into the dumpster. Anybody out there got a farm?
Yeah, I'll give
He's
it to a farmer.
Happy to give it away.
Farmer or a landscaper or a gardener that wants to compost it.
It's oh, really? Can you compost it?
It composts very well.
Really? But
we're talking 400 pounds to 600 per batch dry. This is wet, so it's probably pushing 1,000 pounds.
Does it turn into like dirt then?
Yeah. Breaks down into compost.
Wow.
It's great for your garden.
I might need to take some of that.
Yeah, take a bucket.
That'd be good. Well, thank you very much, Ken. We've had a great day here. It's been a lot of fun. I've seen a lot of things that you don't normally see. The average person doesn't know what goes into it. A lot of it is checking, rechecking, being sanitary all the time.
Vigilance.
Vigilance. I like that. You've got to make a beer called Vigilance.
Vigilance.
There you go.
There's probably 10 out there already.
Oh, are there? Oh, whatever. Well, this one's HMQ90, and I only know one of them.
Right on.
Brewed by Mr. McMullen, Hopvine, and the Britain Yankee podcast recipe.
That's awesome, man.
That's cool. We'll be back for drinking time.
Right on.
That's next.
That is next.
All
Let's
right.
do it.
When's that going to be ready?
This?
Yeah.
We got probably about, I would, at least 15 days.
15
probably
days?
About 18 days.
Okay, cool. I don't want to drink it before it's time.
Well, you should come by and taste it as
Oh, absolutely.
Progressing.
We'll do that, yeah. Cheers, Ken.
All right, cheers.
It's a couple of... 10 days later. Was it 10 days later? Ken's with me again.
Wasn't it the 7th?
It was something like
that.
No,
it wasn't that early.
So what is it now? I've lost track
29.
Of time. I've had
it's
a bad
like
week, you know. The
it's
English
29th
have,
today.
29th, yeah. So we've had a bad couple of weeks here with the exit from Europe, the exit from the Euros. That's even worse than the exit from Europe. But we have come to taste the beer because Mark says we have to taste the beer. So this has come straight from the fermenter, and it is cloudy.
Very murky.
And it's murky.
It's not quite.
That's a good word, murky.
It's not quite carb yet, but it is under pressure and it's been chilled for like 2 days now.
But the yeast hasn't dropped out yet either, no.
So do you think this is going to be ready for our anticipated release date? Or you think it's going to take a little bit longer?
Sure. For sure?
Yeah, the 8th.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. July the 8th. That's a great day. All the holidays are done. People have had their cooking, their barbecues, their beer. They've settled in a bit, gone back to work, and they want something for the weekend. And what better than an English pale ale?
Yeah.
With us is...
Chef Katie.
Chef Katie. I thought you were going to say her last name, but chefs don't have last names, do they? That's just the beginning. Chef Katie. That's it. C. Katie. And she's tasted it. What are you gonna pair up with this wonderful English pale ale?
After much consideration, fish and chips.
Hey, there you go, good
proper
girl.
Proper fish and chips.
Proper fish and chips.
And she was asking me, what do you consider chips? And so I told her, I says, it's just chop up them potatoes with the skin on, deep fry them, and that's good. Add a little malt vinegar. Oh, there you go. Keep your tartar sauce. That's bloody crap. Why is it your tartar sauce is different to the tartar sauce, or as we call it, tartar sauce, in England?
I don't even know what you're eating over there. Sorry.
Yeah, me neither. That's why I keep away from it. Hey, and you know the other thing they have is mushy peas. Have you ever had mushy peas?
Not that I've cooked.
So mushy peas is a northern dish that basically is exactly what it says. It's peas mushed up so that it's kind of like a paste.
Like refried beans?
There you go. It's English refried beans. Only
mushed peas.
It's from the north. So, you know, yeah, I'm from the south. Yeah. You know.
And it's green in color.
And it's green in color. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. It. Yeah. So you've had a chance to sample this beer here, Mark. I'm going to sample it while you talk about it. What do you reckon?
Well, it's along well? What I'm saying is it's nicely balanced. It has both sides of the house, you know. It has the malt and the hops. And it really, for some weird reason, it reminds me of English pale ale, you know.
it is very malty.
I was worried about the hops, the amount of hops had me putting in, the bittering, the tail end. And it's, yeah, I did back off a little bit from what you said, just because I didn't have enough hops to do that. But
you were only off by a smidgen.
It was very small.
You know, I said a smidgen's
it's
fine.
Already, that hop aroma has already faded a bit.
Right.
And it's not. It is a nicely balanced, as it
is. Well, I would say that the hop aroma will come out a little more when it warms up. I'm pretty sure. In a cold beer, it doesn't come out right away. So I think the aroma is going to be just fine.
I think this has turned out better than the one we had on our brew bus a year ago.
Oh, absolutely. And what I'm saying...
serious.
Yeah.
It's got a lovely dry finish, which I like. The maltiness is not too much, but it's right there. And then that little hot bite.
And this is not the proper serving temperature either. I mean, we took it all from the tank.
Yeah.
Which is cold. So you guys drink it a lot warmer in the pub.
Hey, don't start that warm beer thing.
Warmer, I said, okay.
It's room temperature or cellar temperature.
Yeah, like.
And
50.
If you've been down to my cellar, you know how bloody cold it is.
Huh? Right, about 50 degrees or something.
That's right.
When this is 50 degrees, you get the aroma out, I'm sure. And once you get it carbonated too properly, the carbonation will bring out more of the aroma. You will get it. It's not gone.
So do you think it turned out okay?
I'm very happy with it.
And you know what it was all down to, wasn't it? It was when you left me alone to stir the mash.
That's right.
I did a special stir.
Spent over an hour in there tending.
So I think it's turned out very good so far. I'm looking forward. Now, it is going to be clear.
Yeah.
Or is it going to be like that?
Not this cloudy.
It'll clear up.
Maybe a little hazy, but that's normal.
Okay.
That's normal.
That's okay.
It won't get filtered, so it'd be really authentic that way.
I would say this is probably a darn good beer for cooking with. What do you reckon?
Absolutely.
All right. You're going to do the beer batter?
Absolutely.
All right. She's good, isn't she? I like that. Pardon?
My job is to listen to what you want.
Oh, wow. That's the first time I've ever had a woman say that to me.
And you've been married 30 years.
I am.
Goodness.
I'm not surprised.
Well, I think this is going to be a really good one. We've got the released party set up for next Friday, is it?
Week from
Friday. We're going to push out some invitations, but by the time you listen to this, of course, it'll all be over and done with.
Did you say the name of it on there yet?
No, I haven't. It's HMQ90, Her Majesty the Queen 90th Birthday. This is brewed in celebration of the Queen's birthday.
Fantastic.
Hey, when you've been on the throne for 90 years, it's about time you got out the bathroom, I can tell you. She's been in there playing cards. Nice. And when she has a royal flush, she'll be out. Thank you very much. I'm getting them all out now, you know. Well, I had a really good time brewing this with you, and I think it just kind of shows how much of hard work it is, how much cleaning it is, and, you know, how much time you spend sitting around doing nothing. I mean,
fitting in other tasks. Waiting for stuff to happen. Yeah.
Well, it's like military. Hurry up and wait.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. That's what it is. Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to having it. Hopefully, we'll get people out here. We can go around and ask them what they think.
And I suspect the general public will give their real opinion.
Yeah, I had a good time brewing with you. It's nice to have somebody in there helping and just talking to me.
Yeah, would you stop listening to bloody bluegrass?
By the time I walked out of there, I got like a cowboy hat on and a banjo in my hand and everything. I tell you.
It was good fun. I really enjoyed that day. Even the bit at the end when I threw out the leftover mash. Yeah. Yeah. And my wife says she would like some for the compost, please. We'll have to come back the next time around.
I'm brewing tomorrow. I'll save
He's brewing tomorrow. Hey, is it? What's tomorrow? Oh, it's Thursday. Oh, okay, cool. Whilst we were sitting here, by the way, we had a chance to try a couple of brews. And we tried your Belgian dark ale. Is that a variant on the English mild?
It's the second runnings from the Ukrainian pressure, which the dark mild was also second runnings. Handled a little bit differently, but different yeast. But the mash, the source is the same.
And I thought it was pretty good. Well, it had that nice roasty flavor, but just with a different finish, if you will. I thought it was pretty good.
I like this one.
I really do like this one.
I do like it.
Well,
too.
Once it's all settled and finished in a couple of weeks, it'll be perfect.
Yeah. Well, I think it's time for us to say cheers and here's to next week.
Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you, guys. It's our release party, if you will, for HMQ90. Sitting here with me is the well-known man about town and beer glasses, Mr. John Bitterman, who came down. Hi, John. How you doing?
Cheers, mate.
Hey, you got the Brit about you today, right?
You have to. It's pale ale, fish and chips.
Yeah. What do you think of the brew then?
Very good. Very, very good. I think it's really good. It's you're right. It's excellent.
You have to be honest. Now, I know you will be, John, because you've been honest before. I think what happened is the malt and the hops have settled in really nicely. It's come out a little cloudier than we wanted, but that's because it hasn't quite settled. It could do with another week's worth of settling.
No, it's very well balanced. Balance is what it's all about. And
that's absolutely right.
And it's very well balanced. And a nice dry finish.
Yeah, a very dry finish. I'd had a couple of those, and I need more.
Always need more.
And Ken McMullen is around here somewhere. Not quite certain where he's gone. We'll find him shortly and see what his opinion of the finished product is. I think it's going to get better as it goes on, right?
Yeah. People might be frightened off by the lack of clarification in the beer, but they have to realize that that's part of the process.
But that's like a Hefeweizen. That's cloudy.
Yeah. But Americans,
or
like
should
their,
I say, unfiltered?
Yes. But Americans like their beer crystal clear, looking like a Budweiser clear beer. But no, it's a very, very good beer and a very nice crowd tonight.
Yeah,
very nice crowd sitting here at Hot Vine.
Yeah, I think Ken did a good job, and I think the ultimate
not
thing,
just Ken.
Well, that was it. The ultimate topper for this, of course, was my stirring of the mash. he left me stirring the mash.
You poured some grain in there too, didn't you?
Oh, well, I helped him raise the bags. I have to tell you, that's one of the things that a lot of people don't know. They're lugging these enormous, great 50, 60-pound bags of malt around. And I think this is why this is a young man's game, because you gotta have a little bit of muscle about you, and especially if you have to lift it up high to get it into your mash tun, which Ken does. He has to go up a couple of steps.
You see a bunch of brewers a lot of the time with the big beer belly, and you think, oh, look at that fat guy with the big beer belly. No, there's a lot of work involved in brewing every day. It's not an easy task, and despite the beer belly, they're doing a lot of lifting and moving and the rest of that.
I know Ken was here today earlier, and basically just doing cleaning, sanitization.
That's another important part of the whole process.
Well, I'm glad you could come along. I'm glad you like the beer, and you're eating fish and chips done by Chef Katie.
Yes.
And who does excellent food, by the way.
Oh, very good food. Very good food. And yeah. Everything about Hop Fine is a great place.
It is. It's good stuff. And so we'll have to see if we can find
Ken.
Oh, guess who crept up behind me?
It's the, is that the lovely
it's,
wife?
It's the lovely Kimberly.
Hello. And,
yeah. Hello.
Hello.
It's good you said the right name.
Yeah. somebody just said, it's good I said the right name. Yeah. Hi, honey. Oh, it's you.
Hey, you, what's your name?
Yeah, right. We have two lots of fish and chips that are going to come in, so we'll be able to enjoy those.
What do you mean?
Well, because they only have limited.
You mean to pre-order?
They only have limited. I pre-ordered.
Yeah. I know. I couldn't believe your message.
I know. There we
How
go.
How could they be out of fish and chips at 6:30 at night?
Well, she only had limited amounts, you see. The limited special of the day.
It's not Lent season. Fish and chips are, you know. But everybody wants fish and chips every day. I would eat fish and chips every day if I could.
I love fish and chips.
So, John, I have my pint of HMQ 90.
I have
you
my
do. So
pint
let us raise
well.
A glass to Her Majesty the Queen. The Queen.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. She's wearing a big new birthday hat. Cruising London with Prince Philip on the back. In a convertible Range Rover, how cool is that? Philip looks like he feels a bit of a twat. There's people flocking to the streets, waving flags and throwing flowers at her feet. She's the longest reign in the monarchy. Mary Berry's baked her a cake, so let's celebrate with the Duke of Edinburgh in tow. He's by her side wherever she will go, but how he loves to have a moan. It's Lizzie's birthday, here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Happy birthday, happy birthday. She's out on royal duty when she just wants to sit with a cup of tea. Fair enough, she's the queen of our country. Happy birthday.
So we found Ken. And Ken, how do you think the beer turned out okay?
I'm pretty happy with it. I think.
Well, I shouldn't say how did the beer turn out okay. I should say how did the beer turn out okay.
Yeah. No, I think it's better than okay. It's. I just was saying we hit our gravities. We hit the alcohol. It's got the nice malty backbone. A little bit of the. I mean, you get the East Kent Golding hops. Kind of in the finish, you get a little bit of a earthy spiciness from them, but it's very subtle.
And somebody over there was saying that they didn't get too much of the hops in there, which is, I said, that's exactly like an English beer. It's not really hop forward. They're there to enhance the maltiness, if you will, and give you that. I mean, I think it's a very dry beer, but in a strange way, I like that because I want to have more of it.
Well, I think some of that dryness, it looks like there's still a lot of yeast in suspension.
Is that what it is?
So that dryness might be from that yeast and...
So you think after a week or so this will settle down or even further?
Yeah.
And you got, what, 28, 38 barrels of it? No.
Oh, yeah. We actually went and brewed it at Budweiser, so there's 250,000.
Oh, no, lovely. No, okay, we got that. That's
we
good.
Made 7 barrels.
Yeah.
So we'll have it probably a month or so.
No, great. Cool. That's good.
Don't wait to come down because...
No, come on down.
I'll tell you what, we're starting distribution in the next couple weeks, so someplace wants to put this on tap, we may go through it pretty quick.
Oh, that's good. Well, when are you starting distribution? In a week, you said?
We're real close. I mean,
is that self or somebody you're doing it with?
No, we've got a distributor.
Okay, cool.
And we're just ironing out a few things. We're waiting for state, the brand registration.
Back. Oh, if you're waiting for the government, it could be like a year.
It's supposed to be a couple of days. It's been like 10 days, so I think any moment now.
Cool.
We'll be ready.
All right, well, that's good news. So yeah. I think this all around was a good thing. I really appreciate being able to experience the brewing from a first hand. You know, I've seen it occasionally, but not sat there all day and done nothing for hours on end.
It's like a lot of work.
It's, you know what? It's some work. Yeah. On a small scale, there's some physical activity that...
Yes, there is, and I feel like a real wuss because I couldn't lift that bag up.
Well, Mark's recipe came out really good.
Mark's recipe came out good.
And I heard the story today of... is that his wife he was in with?
Yeah, Tina.
Yes.
Well, I think it's his wife. Oh. Yeah, it is.
Jesus. Blonde, short hair, Finnish accent.
Yeah, that's his girlfriend. No.
So she brewed the test batches of this, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and we brewed it for the brew bus last year.
Yes. That's what they said. Yeah, so he was happy with it. He said it came out dead on for what he was expecting. So that's excellent.
Yeah, and I think that's always good. And I think you have the experience of brewing test batches to see how a beer turns out.
Sure.
Oh, and by the way, we were talking to Mr. Bitterman here earlier on, and he really liked the Belgian dark ale as well, because it was I think it's a Belgian version of the English mild.
Yeah, well,
extraordinarily drinkable, tasty, and really good.
It's actually the base of that is the same. It's the second runnings from the Russian Imperial Stout. So last year we kind of made it into an English mild. This year we made it into we used a Belgian Trappist yeast. The same thing I do on the same yeast from our Belgian triple. And so I don't know, is that a style, a dark Belgian session?
I have no idea, but it tastes bloody good. Oh, I was going to ask you, what type of yeast did you put into? Because we had some pictures of the yeast doing, you know, before it got excited and starting to take a dive into HMQ. Yeah,
yeah, that was the it was London ale yeast.
There you go.
From
Brilliant
White Labs, right?
Okay, very good. So it was completely English all around.
Yeah,
so absolutely. Now give us your best English accent.
Oh. Come on.
You must have seen Mary. You must have seen Mary Poppins. I say, Governor.
So, how do you think the Queen would like this? Think she'd be happy?
My husband and I are very happy, and thank you a lot for brewing the beer.
You're welcome.
Do you have a pint yet?
I did have one.
You've drunk it. You need another one because we have to say happy birthday to the Queen. And joining us as well is Doug, one of the owners of Hopvine. Doug, thank you very much for allowing us to come in and hijack and pirate your kegs. But you got a good brewer here. And I was just saying that we should toast the Queen because it is the Queen's 90th.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Your Majesty, happy birthday.
Cheers. Happy birthday.
Cheers.
I'm sure she'd enjoy it too.
Oh, I think so.
Those damn colonials over there.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, cheers.
Thanks, Will.
Britain Yankee!
Britain Yankee!
I'll have a pint. No, give us a pint. You got any tetanus?
A pint, please, Bob. Give another pint, please, Bob.